In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and I am so glad you could join us this morning. We are looking at the book of Exodus, journeying through the Ten Commandments, and we're almost done. We're at commandment number 9, and this is one of those commandments that, well, let me just be honest with you, this is going to sting a little bit. Commandment number 9 reads, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." In other words, no lying. The literal translation is as follows. You shall not answer against your neighbor with untruths. Now, this commandment was primarily for a legal setting to accomplish justice, because justice depends on reliable witnesses. I'm sure you've been to a courtroom or seen a TV show about the courtroom, and those famous words and phrases come up. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. Now today, some courts have modified that to say nothing but the truth under pains and penalties of perjury. Ultimately, again, at the same issue, and that is, we want you as a witness to tell the truth. Now this passage is about speaking the truth about others. Taking this command to the fullest extent would prohibit speaking inaccurately to or even speculating. So I don't want you to just think of this commandment as to lie or not to lie. There's many more shades here that's inside this commandment that we need to understand. This command extends far beyond the courtroom into any interaction with another. This command includes open and direct false evidence to behind-the-scenes character assassinations, and can span all forms of slander in any context. This commandment has implications for reputation. Now, let me ask you a question. Has anyone lied about you? How did that turn out? Lies hurt, don't they? And if someone has ever lied about you and you found out about it, you were devastated. And then you had to figure out how to correct that misinformation. What I'd like to do next is walk you through some additional passages, because this commandment is expanded. It's explained in so many other ways. There's nuances to this throughout all the scriptures, and we can't cover all the passages, but I want to hit a few of them just to help you understand the significance and the implications of this commandment. Exodus 23:1, "You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice." If you just look back at the last year or two, this is exactly what's going on in our cities and around the country. This is what's going on in courtrooms. Witnesses are coming and altering the narratives, producing responses in citizens that leads to destruction and wrath and anger. Leviticus 19:16, "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord," which reminds us of the omniscience and omnipresence of our God. Proverbs 6:19, "A false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren." Proverbs 19:9, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish." Proverbs 21:28, "A false witness shall perish, but the man who hears him will speak endlessly." Proverbs 22:1, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold." Proverbs 20:19, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips." And I'm just warming up here. This is just a handful of some of the passages. Proverbs 26:20, "Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. But you see the connection that the speaker is making? This is that image of fire. Fire causing strife. And of course, James picks up on that later. Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Proverbs 10:18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. And that's a good reminder that every lie will be ultimately accounted for, either in this life or in the next, at the great white throne judgment. Psalm 15:3, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. Psalm 101:5, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. That is an incredible truth to be mindful of. Psalm 27:12, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. There's a few more, and I'm just going to end with this last one. Genesis chapter 20, verse 1, and it's the sin of omission. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south, and there dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now we know that's not the whole truth. Sarah, yes, was his half-sister, but more importantly, Sarah was Abraham's wife. And so let's be clear that you may not commit the overt act of telling a lie, but if you withhold information, that is a lie too. That is distorting the narrative. That is manipulating the information, and that is just as sinful as an overt lie. The implication is death. Deuteronomy 17:6, whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. He shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. The hands of the witnesses shall be the first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So you shall put away evil from among you. Now this is such an important implication here, because God is saying, look, it is easy for one person to accuse another. And knowing man's hearts and their proclivity to sin and lie, God puts in this extra measure. There must be two collaborating witnesses before anyone's going to be put to death. And notice he also brings accountability, that if you're going to be the witness to someone's death, then you're going to be the one who's going to carry out that death. And that death will be on your conscience. And also, if you're guilty of lying resulting in the death, that is murder. So God built in this situation to do as much as he can to protect against false witnesses and those who would sin in this way. Let's look at 1 Kings 21:9 about coveting. This is another situation that was really despicable. You had Jezebel and Ahab, and Ahab wanted a certain vineyard. And so it turned out the vineyard owner refused to sell to Ahab. So Ahab is depressed about it, tells his wife Jezebel, and Jezebel concocts this wicked, evil plan. She wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two men, notice the two, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed God and the king. Then take him out, stone him, that he may die. So the men of the city, the elders and nobles who were inhabitants of the city, did as was written in the letters which she had sent to them. They proclaimed the fast, seated Naboth with high honor among the people, and two men, scoundrels, came in and sat before him, and the scoundrels witnessed against him, against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth has blasphemed God and the king. Then they took him outside the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. Such wickedness. And in the end, God did bring judgment upon Jezebel's head, but not for a time. And this is what's so sad about lying. It gets out there, you have no idea where it's going to go and the collateral damage it will result in. David and Doeg, Psalm 52. Listen to what it says. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. What an incredible picture of what God thinks about lying and what God will do with lying. This is such difficult words to hear, but it's a truth we need to come to grips with. Lying is an abomination to God. Remember Stephen? Stephen, full of faith and power in Acts 6:8, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, the Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And if that wasn't enough, it goes on in verse 12 to say, "And they stir up the people, the elders and the scribes." And of course, you know what happened. Stephen was stoned. And then Jesus, Matthew 26, verse 59. "Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, 'This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' And the high priest arose and said to him, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?'" So we see with the wicked leaders in the time of Jesus, they sought with many false witnesses, but could do nothing. And in the end, this particular truth, Jesus affirms because it reminded them of his death and resurrection. So the question for you is, how do you talk about others? Do you rightly represent them? Do you truly reflect their character appropriately? Are there situations you find yourself in where maybe you sinned and you were confronted and you lied, you hedged, you omitted, you changed the narrative? All of this falls under this commandment, you shall not lie. James 3:5, probably the greatest passage in the scriptures on this topic. "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell." Matthew 5:11, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." So let me close with this. How will you respond in that day when a false witness arises against you? Let us remember the example of Christ. He came speaking with grace and truth. He never lied. He never reviled. He entrusted himself to God the Father. May you and I have a mouth that speaks truth, and may we, when falsely accused, respond like our Lord and Savior.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.